Écoutez maintenant Birgit Giorgi qui va venir nous donner une dimension européenne. Elle est là. Où est-elle? Elle est là. Elle est là. Birgit, vous êtes Project Manager Regional Vulnerability and Adaptation à l'Agence européenne de l'environnement. Vous aviez un petit quart d'heure. Si vous pouviez faire moins, ça nous arrangerait. Parce qu'on est très en retard.
Thank you very much for that opportunity to talk to you. I know it's very late, but maybe as a bonus, I can provide you a very different perspective on urban adaptation today. And I work with the European Environment Agency. Does anybody know the European Environment Agency here? Not that many, I must say. We are an EU body. We support the European Commission and the member state to design policy for sustainable development. And our main task is to collect, to synthesize the information about the environment in Europe and to provide them for policy making. And coming from that European perspective, you might wonder what we are doing on urban adaptation. But the fact is that around 75% of the population in Europe is urban population. And that means also that most of the industry, most of the economy is concentrated in urban areas. They generate our wealth. So urban simply matters for Europe, and that's why we look into it. And when we get to adaptation, adaptation needs to be implemented locally and regionally. And even if from 2013 on we will have a European adaptation strategy, we need that local and regional implementation of such a strategy. Cities are front runners of adaptation. I have heard that quite often, and we have seen a lot of very exciting examples. I have been to many conferences, but is that real? The good message, we had just a recent survey around 200 European cities across Europe. And the good message is that more than 90% consider somehow climate change adaptation. But the not so good message is that more than 3/4 are in a very early stage of that adaptation planning or have not even begun yet. So the question is, what hinders cities? What are the barriers? And I could tell you quite a list, like low awareness of decision makers, little knowledge at the local authorities, limited capacities and resources in these authorities, or also that challenges stretch beyond the borders and the competency of the authorities. If you just think about water, I have read that Athens, Istanbul, Paris, and many other big cities, they transport their water often more than 100 or 200 kilometers to get it to the city. That are totally different regions. They are totally different actors like agriculture, energy generators. With them, they have to compete. So and that requires a different approach. Also think about national and European legislation. They can hinder or not support local action. There are a couple of countries in Europe where you are automatically insured if you get flooded by a flood disaster. That is no incentive not to settle in flood-prone areas or to move out of flood-prone areas. So what is the argument for the authorities to move people out of the flood-prone areas or not to make even more urban sprawl there? So what we need in Europe as a multi-level approach where cities and regions implement, but where the national level and the EU level enable by providing knowledge, doing research, creating that framework, providing also some finance. And city is not like the other city. What you need is a territorial governance. We have to be spatially explicit, and for that we need knowledge. And here we come in. As the agency, we have recently released a report. That is a picture how we know it from Europe. If we look at the number of combined tropical nights and hot days, which could be an indicator for heat waves and how they increase over time. And you see that we have, of course, different regions. But that's not true for cities, because these maps, they underestimate the number of these days in cities because of the urban heat island effect. So what does that tell us? What we did is just to put on top of such a map the share of green urban area in a city and the population density. And now you can look where are the big red dots and the dark background. There probably you have a very, very hot problem and you should look deeper in it. And it provides us a European pattern, not just a single city view. The same last year in Copenhagen, so our agency is based in Copenhagen. It's a flat city without any river, but we had a big flood event. What happened? Within 2 hours, 150 millimeter rain fall down. And where should that water go? So the sewage system was overwhelmed and the soil is sealed, so we had that flooding event. And how does it look across Europe? In the background, you can see the projections where we expect more of such heavy precipitation or less, and on top of that, the degree of soil sealing. But we could also look into socioeconomic factors like social sensitivity. Elderly people are very often more sensitive to climate impacts, and that is the picture across Europe. And I think you see quite some interesting pattern where are older people concentrated, like here in Italy. But the more interesting thing is if we take the country average, so you see a difference between the city and the country average. In Italy, they tend to be older in the city. In France, they tend to be younger in the city than in the countryside. So you can go through different factors, adaptive capacity. Do they have the means to adapt, the economic means? That's also one pattern. We have put all this information, much, much more, into the new platform. It's a European platform, Climate Adapt, so accessible for every user. To summarize all that, so cities matter for us in Europe. What we need is a multi-level governance approach, where national and European governments enable, and they again need the right knowledge to do that also spatially differentiated and not with a one-size-fits-all information. So that information we provide via our webpage with the report, with interactive maps, with data tables, and so on. Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup.